He died September 15th, 1938, and was taken by his family to Asheville, North Carolina, and buried in Riverside Cemetery.
There, where the hackles of the Rocky Mountains blaze in the blank and naked radiance of the moon, go make your resting stool upon the highest peak. Can you not see us now? The continental wall juts sheer and flat, its huge black shadow on the plain. And the plain sweeps out against the east, 2,000 miles away. The great snake that you see there is the Mississippi River. Behold the gem-strung towns and cities of the good green east, flung like stardust through the field of night. That spreading constellation of the north is called Chicago. And that giant wink that blazes in the moon is the pendant lake that it is built upon. There's Boston, ringed with the bracelet of its shining little towns and all the lights that sparkle on the rocky indentations of New England. Here, southward, and a little to the west, and yet still coasted to the sea, is our intensest ray, the splintered firmament of the towered island of Manhattan. Turn now, seeker, on your resting stool atop the Rocky Mountains, and look another 1,000 miles or so across the moon-blazing fiend worlds of the Painted Desert and beyond Sierra's ridge. That magic congeries of lights there to the west, ringed like a studded belt around the magic setting of its lovely harbor, is the fabled town of San Francisco. Below it, Los Angeles, and all the cities of the California shore. Observe the whole of it. Survey it as you might survey a field. Make it your garden, seeker, or your backyard patch. Be at ease in it. It's your oyster, yours to open if you will. Don't be frightened. It's not so big now. When your footstool is the Rocky Mountains, reach out and dip a hatful of cold water from Lake Michigan. Drink it. We've tried it. You'll not find it bad. Take your shoes off and work your toes down in the river oozes of the Mississippi bottom. It's very refreshing on a hot night in the summertime. Help yourself to a bunch of Concord grapes up there in northern New York State. They're getting good now. Or raid that watermelon patch down there in Georgia. Or if you like, you can try the Rocky Fords here at your elbow in Colorado. Just make yourself at home. Refresh yourself. Get the feel of things. Adjust your sights. And get the scale. It's your pasture now. And it's not so big. Only 3,000 miles from east to west. Only 2,000 miles from north to south. But all between, where 10,000 points of light prick out the cities, towns and villages, there, seeker, you will find us burning in the night. Here, as you pass through the brutal sprawl, the 20 miles of rails and rickets of the South Chicago slums, here, in an unpainted shack, is a Negro boy, and seeker, he is burning in the night. Behind him is a memory of the cotton fields, the flat and mournful pineland barrens of the lost and buried South. Farther still behind, the slave driver's whip, the slave ship, and far off, the jungle dirge of Africa. And before him, what? A roped-in ring, a blaze of lights, across from him a white champion, the bell, the opening, and all around the vast sea roaring of the crowd. Then the lightning faint and stroke, the Black Panther's paw, the hot rotating presses, and the rivers of sheeted print. Oh, seeker, where is the slave ship now? Or there, in the clay-baked Piedmont of the South, that lean and tan-faced boy who sprawls there in the creaking chair, among admiring cronies before the open doorways of the fire department, and tells them how he pitched the team to shut out victory today. What visions burn? What dreams possess him, seeker of the night? The packed stands of the stadium, the bleachers sweltering with their unshaded hordes, the faultless velvet of the diamond, unlike the clay-baked outfields down in Georgia. The mounting roar of 80,000 voices and Gary coming up to bat, the boy himself upon the pitching mound, the lean face steady as a hound's. Then the nod, the signal, and the wind-up, the rawhide arm that snaps and crackles like a whip, the small white bullet of the blazing ball, its loud report in the oiled pocket of the catcher's mitt, the umpire's thumb jerked upward, the clean strike. Oh, there again, in the east side ghetto of Manhattan, two blocks away from the East River, a block away from the gas house district and its thuggery, there in the swarming tenement, shut in his sweltering cell, breathing the sun-baked air through open window at the fire escape. Cell there away into a little semblance of privacy and solitude from all the brawling and vociferous life and argument of his family and the seething hive around him. The boy sits and pores upon his book. In short sleeves, bent above his table to meet the hard glare of a naked bulb, he sits with gaunt, starved face converging to his huge, beaked nose, the weak eyes squinting painfully through his thick lens glasses, his greasy hair roached back in oily scrolls above the slanting cage of his painful and constricted brow. And for what? For what this agony of concentration? For what this hell of effort? For what this intense withdrawal from the poverty and squalor of dirty brick and rusty fire escapes? From the raucous cries and violence and never-ending noise? For what? Because, brother, he is burning in the night. He sees the class, the lecture room, the shining apparatus of gigantic laboratories, the open field of scholarship and pure research, certain knowledge, and the world distinction of an Einstein name. So then, to every man his chance. To every man, regardless of his birth, his shining golden opportunity. To every man the right to live, to work, to be himself, and to become whatever thing his manhood and his vision can combine to make him. This seeker is the promise of America.